revival pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will come. I hear it, she's hit the ground.
I hear it!
Oh, yeah.
Hey everyone, my name is Brandon, and we're so excited to have you here with us. Our new semester of Life Groups have started, and it's not too late to jump in. Life Groups are a great way to meet new people and be part of our HTC family. To learn more about Life Groups and register, visit us at the Connect Desk after the service or online at htchurch.com and click on the Life Groups page. To stay connected to the life of our church, scan the QR code at the bottom of your program. If you're watching us online, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Church, we love you and hope you have the best day ever.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you came to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a good job leading us this morning? I'm going to tell you, there is a change in the atmosphere. I feel it in my spirit. God is on the move. He's up to good things. Amen. We want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online this morning at this 10 o'clock worship service. We're so glad that you're able to join us online. Thankful for technology that connects us and the Spirit of God that connects us. We want to thank you all for your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving, your tithe. We want to thank you for remembering giving to the work of missions. Harvest Time supports on a monthly basis over 60 missionaries and mission organizations, and your giving on a regular basis to missions helps us to continue spreading the gospel here at home and all around the world. You know, King Solomon wrote this. He said, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops." I looked that up in Hebrew. It's the word all, your crops. "Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim with new wine." How many of you would like to have vats brimming with new wine? Solomon says, don't withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to act, for the Lord blesses the home of the righteous. How many of you can say God has blessed your home, He's blessed your life, and we're so thankful. Because of social distancing, we are not going to pass an offering plate through the sanctuary. There are boxes at all of the entrances and exits. If you did bring an offering with you this morning, you can leave it in one of those boxes as you exit today. For those worshiping online and for everyone, you can give to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link on the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure offering to Harvest Time. Some people like to give by text, and the information for giving by text is on the screen behind me, and you can also find that in your bulletin. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about where Jesus' movements are born. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to start reading in the 12th verse. While you find your way there, launched a new semester of life groups this last week. My wife and I host a dinner party for young adults at our home every Tuesday, and we had 4 new young adults at our around our table. A couple of months ago, we converted our family room into a dining room that seats 20, and every seat at the table is full, and then some. We're going to need a bigger table. But if you're not yet part of a life group, you can go out to the Connect desk in the main lobby, check out our offerings of group, and become part of a group. All right, look with me. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. The Bible says, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew. That's an important word. He withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people sitting in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed Jesus. Let's talk for a few minutes about where Jesus' movements are born. This year, we're spending our Sunday mornings together looking at the matchless life of Jesus, and there's nothing better that we could be doing. The Bible promises that when we fix our minds on Jesus, God will keep our hearts in perfect peace. He'll keep us calm all the time, because we trust in the Lord. That's my prayer for all of us in these unprecedented times. Jesus' public ministry lasted for 3 years. The first year, Jesus spent in relative obscurity, mostly in Judea, not far from Jerusalem. Most of what we know about that first year is written in the first few chapters of the Gospel of John. The other 3 Gospels don't say much about that first year. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at the early Jesus stories in the Gospel of John, and in the outline you received in your program, we've sort of printed a little timeline of Jesus' first year of ministry. The second year of ministry, Jesus experienced wild popularity in Galilee. Starting in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus exploded onto the scene in a very public way, and I believe that Jesus is about to do the same again. How many of you know that God is always at work in his world? Sometimes he works quietly behind the scenes, but other times he works openly in very public demonstrations of his mercy and his power. In the early 1970s, my family came to the Lord during a mighty Jesus movement that started with the hippies and swept across America and around the world. Pastor Desiree's parents were part of that. Pastor Blaze's parents were part of that. A lot of you were part of it. This photo is from one of the outdoor Jesus festivals in the 1970s that we used to attend that drew crowds every summer, upwards of 70, 80,000 people. You know, as we watch history being made right now, and as we watch biblical prophecy unfolding before our eyes, I am absolutely convinced that God wants to send another Jesus movement to America. In fact, he's already on the move. And this is my earnest desire, that we would be an integral part of this last day's move of God. I have petitioned the Lord, whatever you're going to do in our country, whatever you're going to do in your world, I want HTC to be in on the IPO, the initial public outpouring. God, consider this is your people. Don't go looking somewhere else. Consider that we're the ones that are ready and willing and able to be your instruments to bring a spiritual renewal. Looking at the launch of Jesus' public ministry in chapter 4, I want to share a few thoughts about where Jesus' movements are born. On your way in, you received a program. In your program, there's an outline of the sermon. If you like, you can watch the screens, fill in the blanks, follow along. If you'd like an outline at home, there is a link to a PDF file in the chat section. Just click on that, and you can download an outline of today's sermon. Where Jesus' movements are born, a few thoughts from Galilee. First of all, Jesus' movements are born where expectation is high and resistance is low. This is good. I preach myself happy once already. I'm going to preach myself happy again. Looking at Jesus' ministry, I got curious. Why did Jesus devote so much time to Galilee? Jesus did the vast amount of his teaching and preaching in Galilee, and the brilliance of his teaching was largely lost on an audience of lay people. Why did Jesus perform most of his miracles in Galilee? He spent the better part of a year near Jerusalem, but he kept a low profile there, embedded in the ministry of John the Baptist. He visited Jerusalem several times, and he ministered every time he was there, but Jesus didn't stay in Jerusalem. He preferred Galilee. Why? Well, I believe that one reason is because spiritual expectation was very high in Galilee. 700 years before Jesus, the Assyrians ransacked Galilee. They killed the men. They carried away the women and the children as slaves, prisoners of war. After the war, Galilee was repopulated by a mixture of Jewish people and Gentile people from Turkey and Lebanon and Syria and Iraq. And Galilee remained a mixed population right up to Jesus' day. But through the prophet Isaiah, God promised that the Messiah would appear in Galilee and he would deliver God's people from the darkness of oppression. Because of that promise, God-fearing Jews actually moved to Galilee looking for the coming of the Messiah. Among them were the people who settled the village of Nazareth, and I'll talk more about that next week. So the spiritual expectation was very high in Galilee. People believed the Messiah would show up there. They were looking for the signs of his appearing. In fact, during Jesus' time, there were a number of attempted revolutions launched from Galilee, led by faux messianic figures. Expectation was high in Galilee. At the same time, resistance was very low. Galilee was just far enough away from Jerusalem that it was mostly unnoticed by the leaders in Jerusalem. They were so caught up in the rituals of the temple and in their endless theological debates that they were unconcerned about what happened in Galilee. To them, it was of little consequence. Wasn't a center for religious learning, wasn't a place where pure Jewish faith could be practiced. And that's precisely why Jesus went there. When the Pharisees in Jerusalem heard that Jesus' following was growing larger than John the Baptist's following at the Jordan River, and when Herod Antipas arrested John the Baptist, Jesus withdrew to Galilee for safety. Listen, here's something important for you to know. It was the strategy of Jesus and St. Paul and the early church to avoid open conflict unless the Holy Spirit led them directly into it. You need to know that for the days that we live in and for the days that are coming. In Galilee, Jesus ministered freely without being hassled by the Jewish leaders. In Galilee, Jesus taught revelation from the scripture without being bogged down in endless debates and questions about his authority. In Galilee, Jesus ministered as Messiah, healing the sick and delivering the oppressed without being hampered by all the preconceived notions of the religious elite about what Messiah should be doing. The pious Jews in Jerusalem looked down on Galilee because it was a mixed bag of Jews and Gentiles living and working together side by side. But that's precisely why Jesus went there, because the Galileans were open to people who didn't fit the mold. They were open to unconventional young leaders. Listen, listen, listen. God wants to speak to his church today. Can I tell you that Jesus' movements are still born where spiritual expectations are high and where religious resistance is low? Jesus' movements are born where God's people are clinging to God's promises, looking for signs of his appearing. Jesus' movements are born where people pray with expectancy, like faithful Anna and Simeon in the temple, like the Kaddish that ended every synagogue worship service. May the authority of God come in your lifetime. Listen, precious friends, in this season in the world, let's have expectant hearts and let's pray expectant prayers. The Bible says in the last days, demonically ferocious times will come. People will be narcissistic, greedy, unloving, abusive, violent, impulsive, reckless. In case you're wondering, we are there. Welcome to the last days. But the Bible also says that God has the last word on the last days. And what God said is, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit everywhere on your sons and your daughters, and they will prophesy. God has said this good news of the kingdom will be preached around the whole world as a witness to every nation, and then the end has come. God has said, from the place where the sun rises in the east to where it sets in the west, the name of the Lord will be praised. God has said the glory of the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to tell you my expectations are high. I am not looking for a hole in the ground. I am looking for a hole in the sky. I'm looking for what God is up to right now. I'm looking for his inbreaking in history. I'm expecting Jesus to explode on the scene in a very public way. Jesus' movements are born where spiritual expectations are high and where religious resistance is low. Jesus' movements are born where religious people don't try to squelch the moving of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' movements are born where preconceived religious notions don't prohibit Jesus from doing the work that he wants to do. You know, they told me God doesn't baptize people in the Holy Spirit anymore with signs and wonders following. But Pastor Desi, they told me too late. I already had it, and I'm not giving it back. Jesus' movements are born where the religiously knowledgeable don't bog down the work of God with endless critiques and committees. Jesus' movements are born where the old guard doesn't quash the anointing of unconventional young leaders. I tell you, I'm going to spend whatever time I have left in ministry doing everything I can to pour into another young generation to go to the stratosphere with the glory of God. That's my prayer, that we would become that kind of place, the kind of place where expectations are high and where religious resistance is low. Where are Jesus' movements born? That's only point one. God help us. Few thoughts from Galilee. Another thought. Jesus' movements are born where Jesus' light shines the brightest. Can I tell you that places can be physically beautiful, but spiritually dark? That reminds me a lot of Westchester and Fairfield counties. It also reminds me of Galilee. Galilee was, and it still is today, the breadbasket of Israel. Galilee's beautiful. Picture Napa Valley in California, if you will, rolling hills, beautiful fields, olive orchards, vineyards, wheat and barley fields, a thriving fishing industry on the Sea of Galilee. But the prophet describes, Isaiah describes the Galileans as sitting in darkness. Galilee was dark because it was under the heavy hand of the Romans. Roman soldiers made sure that Jewish people paid Roman taxes. Between the Roman and the Jewish taxes, the effective tax rate on the working middle class was about 40%. That's comparable to what we're paying here in the U.S. People were weighed down. By the way, the IRS, it spells theirs. It's all theirs. Galilee was dark because it was far away from Jerusalem. It was separated from Jerusalem by dirty Samaria to the west and dirty 10 Roman cities called the Decapolis on the east side of the Jordan River. Pilgrims traveling from Galilee down south to Jerusalem, they would actually cross the river. They'd thread their way back and forth to avoid walking through contaminated territory. But listen, it was precisely because of the darkness that God chose to send his light to Galilee. The people sitting in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. God sent Jesus to Galilee because where it is darkest, the light shines the brightest. That's good preaching right there. I just preached myself happy. I just went right over the edge with that. When I was in seminary, the comet Hale-Bopp passed over North America. Hale-Bopp is just fun to say. Hale-Bopp was so bright that it was visible with the naked eye. You didn't even need a pair of binoculars or a telescope. But in order to see it, you had to escape the city lights. One night, few of us took a study break and we drove out of the city of Springfield. On a country road next to a cornfield in Bolivar, Missouri, we got to take in the majesty of Comet Hale-Bopp. Hale-Bopp won't be around again until the year 4385, so the next time I see it, I'm going to be looking down on it from the other side, from above. The light shines brightest in the darkest places. Jesus' light shines brightest where people are weighed down with heavy burdens. His light shines brightest where people are weary. His light shines brightest where people are oppressed by the enemy and have no control over their destiny. His light shines brightest where people are sick with sin and need to be liberated and healed. His light shines brightest where people need hope and where they need help. Jesus, listen, this is good right here. Jesus' light shines the brightest where it's not diffused by the artificial light of man-made religion. Nothing kills revelation like man-made religion. That's good preaching right there. Why did Jesus go to Galilee? Because his light shone the brightest there. How do I know that we're poised for a new Jesus movement? Because in my lifetime, this is the darkest I have ever seen America. If you don't know what's going on right now, America is being groomed for a full Marxist takeover. They're running plays right out of the Marxist handbook, and they have been for a while. The end game is to turn our free society into a totalitarian society, and that necessitates the obliteration of our history, the obliteration of family, the obliteration of Christianity, and turning local law enforcement into a federal police force. That is the end game. Lenin did it, Hitler did it, and that's what's being pulled on us just now. Marxism is inherently anti-Christian. Karl Marx said that communism begins at atheism. It is the epitome of spiritual darkness and the antichrist spirit. Beloved, we need to pray like we have never prayed before. That's the truth. Listen. This is what I've been praying for several months now. I'm praying that the waves of immigrants coming across our borders, there are immigrants from Central South America coming across the southern border. There are waves of immigrants from the Middle East being located all across the northern tier. Here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that such a revival breaks out in those immigrant communities in the South and in the North, that those immigrant communities have a full-on Jesus experience, that they embrace Christ, that they embrace the morality, the values of the Bible, that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that they bring a wave, a Holy Ghost wave of renewal. Why not? I've shared this before, and I hope you'll forgive me for repeating myself. But for years before we ever built this new sanctuary, the Lord kept giving me a picture. I kept seeing this building completed before we ever even broke ground. And outside, it was nighttime, and the darkness kept getting blacker and blacker, thick, murky darkness. But inside this sanctuary, I saw a light, the color of which I can't even begin to describe to you. It was a dazzling electric blue-white light. And as the darkness outside kept getting darker, the light inside kept getting brighter and brighter and brighter. That's how I knew this building would be built, when we didn't have the money to start it and we didn't have the money to finish. And that's how I know now that a new Jesus movement will be born here. Listen, it's getting so dark out there some days, it really makes us tremble, but don't be discouraged. Stand on this word of promise. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the light of day. My prayer for Harvest Time Church is that as the darkness gets darker, the light of Jesus will get brighter and brighter and brighter through us. Our Jesus movement's born, where expectation is high and resistance is low, where Jesus' light shines the brightest. Gotta hurry. Another thought, where people lean into a message of repentance. Where people lean into a message of repentance. Do not overlook that the very first word of the gospel is the word repent. Repent means to have a change of mind. It means to do an about-face. You were hurrying off in one direction, and you thought better of it. You had a change of heart, and you turned and did an about-face, and you headed off in completely the opposite direction. Jesus said the reason we should repent is because Dad just pulled up in the driveway. The Jewish people understood that God is the rightful owner of everything, and he's the rightful leader of everyone, and we are all under his house rules. But for a season, the house has fallen under the illegitimate leader of a rebel, and it's been pandemonium in the house ever since. But the Jewish people believed that God was coming again in the form of Messiah to restore order. Everyone who remained loyal to God would be rewarded. Everyone who contributed to and participated in the pandemonium would be punished. So I'm the youngest of three siblings in my family. My sister Lisa is about 18 months older than me. My sister Laurie is 6 years older than me. I was actually born on Laurie's first day of kindergarten because my parents were in the hospital having me. My grandparents had to take Laurie to kindergarten for her first day of school, and Laurie has never forgiven me for that. When Laurie became a teenager, my parents would go out from time to time, and they would leave Laurie in charge. Big mistake. We had a long list of house rules, none of which Laurie intended to keep. As soon as my parents cleared the driveway, my sister Lisa and I would get a hard punch in the arm and a warning: if you tell mom and dad what goes down tonight, I will mess you up. And then I had a permanent bruise on my arm for years of my life. And then one day I got bigger than my sister and I hit her back and I hurt her and I felt so horrible. A parade of teenagers would come through the back door with coolers and with other party supplies. And for a couple of hours, Lisa and I would cower in an upstairs bedroom while our house was under hostile takeover, loud music and dancing and drinking and kids making out on the sofas. We couldn't wait for Dad and Mom to get home again and restore peace and order, and we hoped that they would catch Laurie and her accomplices in the act. Sometimes Laurie tried to cover herself by luring us into the party. She thought, you know, if we joined the revelry, we'd be complicit, and then, you know, we couldn't rat her out. Laurie always got caught. When my parents pulled in the driveway, they'd be frantically wiping up. People would be running out the back door of the house. One time it looked like Laurie got away with it until the next day my mom pulled back a shower curtain and somebody had left a beer bottle in the bathtub. That's what it means when it says the Jewish people were waiting for the kingdom of God. They were waiting for Dad to come home and restore peace and order on earth. They were waiting for Dad to come home and punish the wrongdoers and reward those who had remained faithful to him. This is Jesus' message of the kingdom. Dad has just pulled up in the driveway. His feet are on the threshold. His hand is on the doorknob. He's coming through the door. You better change your mind. In Galilee, large numbers of people leaned into that message. They took it to heart. They had a change of mind, and they changed their direction. Still today, Jesus' movements are born where people lean into a message of repentance. Listen, the philosophy of the world is express yourself. The philosophy of the world is have fun, enjoy yourself, be yourself, fulfill yourself. The message of the gospel is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. My prayer is that Harvest Time would always be a place that embraces a message of repentance. Where are Jesus' movements born? Few thoughts from Galilee, where expectation is high and resistance is low, where Jesus' light shines brightest, where people lean into repentance. Here's another thought. Jesus' movements are born where people reach a decision about discipleship. Where people reach a decision about discipleship. When Jesus came walking along the shore of Galilee and called out to Peter and Andrew and James and John, it was not the first time that they had all met. The Gospel of John tells us that they had already met Jesus in Judea in conjunction with the ministry of John the Baptist. These brothers had spent time with Jesus. They were with Jesus when he changed water into wine at Cana. They were with Jesus when he cleansed the temple. Jesus had already visited Capernaum previously. They had exposure to Jesus. They had time to think about them. In fact, I'm quite convinced that James and John were the first cousins of Jesus, which means they knew Jesus their whole lives. What Matthew chapter 4 reports is a defining moment of decision for those two pairs of brothers. Jesus called them on that day to leave the stage of curiosity and cross over to a commitment to follow him, a radical commitment. Beloved, listen to me. This is good right here. The call to discipleship is the call to restructure your whole life around your relationship with Jesus. It's the call to make him your first priority, to make him the organizing principle of your life. I like how Tim Keller describes it. It's the call to make Jesus the hub in the center of a wheel to which all the other spokes of your life connect and by which they are all organized. Can't help feeling like God wants to speak a word to someone listening. I don't know whether you're here in the sanctuary. I don't know whether you're worshiping online. But this is what I feel. Jesus is saying, come follow me. It's time to leave the stage of curiosity and cross over to a commitment to discipleship. It's time to stop doing things your own way and restructure your life around your relationship with God. It's time to put Jesus fully in the center of your life. What will it cost you? It will cost you everything. What will you get in return? Jesus said you'll get everything times 100, both in this life and in the life to come. I made that decision 46 years ago, and I tell you the truth, I have never for one day regretted it, and you won't either. My prayer is that God will make us a place where definitive decisions are made to follow Jesus. Where are Jesus' movements born? A few thoughts from Galilee. Finally, this. Jesus' movements are born where the movement will become trans-regional. Where the movement will become trans-regional. Everybody listen, listen, listen. Here's what happens in a place where expectations are high and resistance is low. Here's what happens in a place where Jesus' light shines brightly in darkness. Here's what happens in a place where people lean into a message of repentance and make a decision for discipleship. God's authority comes home to that place, and he restores peace and order. Jesus has the power to heal every kind of sickness and disease. I speak it in the name of Jesus. No matter how long someone has been ill, no matter how far their disease has progressed, nothing, nothing, nothing is too difficult for the Lord. I believe it and I have seen it. Jesus has the power to heal people who are in pain. He has the power to heal people who move involuntarily, and he has the power to heal people who are unable to voluntarily move. Jesus has the power to liberate people who are tormented by evil spirits in their minds and in their bodies. He has the power to deliver people from addictions and life-controlling problems. Jesus can deliver people who can't fall asleep, and he can deliver people who can't stay awake. Worship team, come help me finish. As it turns out, listen, 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 and we're done. Listen, and we're done. As it turns out, a major highway ran through Galilee. It was called the Via Maris, the way of the sea. Land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea in Galilee of the Gentiles. On the Via Maris, on the way of the sea, news about Jesus traveled to Lebanon and to Syria and to Jordan. News spread to the 10 dirty Roman cities east of the Jordan, the Decapolis, and not just Jewish people, but Gentile people heard the news as well. News even reached Jerusalem and Judea. Listen, listen, Jesus picked Galilee precisely because the kingdom of God was never meant to stay in one place, but because it was meant to travel everywhere. Galilee was uniquely positioned both geographically and demographically to facilitate the spread of the gospel. After Jesus was, it's good preaching, I'm making myself happy. After Jesus was crucified and he rose again, he stood on a mountain in Galilee, and from Galilee he said to us, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. The global mission was launched from Galilee. Here is what I know about this church. I know that God has strategically positioned us in one of the premier suburbs of the world near New York City. I know that God has strategically positioned us on King Street, next to an airport, near a highway, on property that was supposed to be the United Nations. I know that God has uniquely gathered us demographically from every walk of life and background and from nations of the world, because God wants to reach every kind of person through what he does here. I know that God wants to birth things here that will make a global impact, not for the fame of any man, but for the fame of Christ and his kingdom. Here's what I know. I had to build this building, and you will never know the sacrifice my wife and I made to build it, but I had to build it for what is coming. And when it comes, this building will not be nearly big enough to contain the move of God. I have seen it. Father, make this church a place where a new Jesus movement is born. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, glory? Come on, give him a good praise right now, church. Would you do it? Give him a good praise. Hallelujah. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The Lord reigns, he wins. Come on, lift up your voice. The darkest night, you can light it up.
Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains begin.
Change your mind. Dad's coming home. His car's in the driveway. His footsteps are on the threshold. His hand is on the doorknob. He's coming through the door. Dad's coming home. Change your mind. It's time for you to make Jesus the organizing principle of your life, to put him at the center. Come on, I just lift up your hands, lift up your faces, and would you pray your own prayer? Would you say, Jesus, I put you at the center. I put you in the middle. I put you at the center of my life. Everything restructured around my relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus is calling someone to cross over the line from curiosity to a commitment to discipleship. I'm not going to lie, it will cost you everything. But you will get everything times 100 in return. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody lift up your face, lift up your hands to the Lord. I want you to just say, Jesus, I'm making my decision. I'm going to follow you. Thank you, Lord. Now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take authority over every harassing and tormenting spirit bothering the people of God. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit causing involuntary movement. I take authority over every spirit that causes facial tics, tics of the eyes, tics of the mouth, over muscular twitches in the body, over involuntary movements. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I tell you, go now in Jesus' name. I take authority over every spirit that causes episodes of paralysis. Paralysis of thought, paralysis of speech, paralysis of movement. I take authority over every spirit that causes paralysis associated with night terrors. You have no authority here. Jesus is in the house. God is home in the house. Over every spirit that causes emotional torment, mental anguish. Holy Spirit, blow right now through the minds of your people. Blow right now in Jesus' name. Peace, 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 peace. Lord, I thank you for restoring the ability for clear thinking, for sound judgment, for emotions in control. Lord, I thank you for touching people in their body and just restoring the proper chemical balances within bodies so that emotions can be stable and secure. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, just receive that. I want you to just pray this with me. Would you say this with me? Lift up your hands, lift up your face. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord one more great big praise in this place. I just want to let you know that you're going to have a great week this week. I just want to let you know your good shepherd, he's already passed through your Monday and your Tuesday and your Wednesday. He's searching out the best pastures, the best opportunities for you. Still waters. He's preparing some of you. You're in a battle right now. He's preparing a beautiful banquet table for you in the presence of your enemies. So you're just going to banquet in peace while your enemies stand around watching you and they can't do anything about it. He's going to bless everything you touch. It's going to prosper because that's his promise. Come on, wiggle your fingers in the air. Everything you touch, everything you touch, everything you touch, it's going to prosper in Jesus' name. Come on, I want you to worship one more time. After you've sung, you can be dismissed. Have a great week in Jesus. We love you, everybody. God bless you.